Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, October 20, 2021. South Sudan military officials say the country's unified force is ready for graduation.
The JDB secretariat completed its work, which was basically the nomination of joint the screening teams from the main parties to the agreement.
And South Sudanese lawmakers at the East African Legislative Assembly block new recruitments at the regional bloc's main offices in Arusha, Tanzania.
So that is what has happened. They've taken responsibility. We've let them to go ahead and we'll wait. Maybe by the end of today or tomorrow, they will issue a statement regarding what course of action they are going to take regarding addressing this this problem.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Partners in South Sudan's unity government have ordered their forces to return to training camps ahead of a graduation tentatively planned for November. Many of the troops had deserted their cantonment sites because of a lack of food and medicine, among other hardships. One member of the Joint Defense Board says the parties have formed committees to screen the forces ahead of their graduation. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Colonel Lampaul Gabriel is a member of the Joint Defense Board and the spokesperson of the SPLIO. He told the South Sudan in Focus today the defense board decided to order troops back to training camps and speed up preparations for the graduation of the joint forces.
It was in a meeting last week in Bilpam that the co-chairs of the JDB in the person of General Santino Dengwol, and also from the SPLIO, we have the acting the co-chair, that is Lieutenant General Gabriel Dublam, and also from SOA. So this directive came strictly from them.
Major General Luroy Kwang also is a member of the Joint Defense Board and the spokesperson of the South Sudan People's Defense Force. He says the parties to the peace deal that have forces in the training camps have formed joint teams to screen the troops, one of the key requirements before the unified forces graduate. Kwang says the Joint Defense Board is now waiting for funds from the National Pre-Transitional Committee to finalize preparations for the joint forces graduation.
The JDB secretariat completed its work, which was basically the nomination of joint screening teams from the main parties to the agreement. And when I'm talking of joint screening teams, we are basically looking for representatives from the main parties to the agreement, namely SSPDF, SPLM, SPLIO, and so on.
Gabriel says at least 40,000 Unified Forces trainees are expected to graduate. At the onset of the pre-transitional period in 2019, parties to the deal deployed at least 60,000 troops to the training camps. They were expected to be trained and redeployed as unified forces in the National Army, Police, National Security Service, and Wildlife Service. But many trainees deserted the camps when the graduation did not take place as scheduled. Gabriel says a lack of food, health care, and shelter forced some of the trainees to desert the training camps. According to the time frame for implementing the revitalized peace agreement in South Sudan, the trainees were expected to have completed training and been redeployed 8 months after the deal was signed in September 2018. Major General Kwang says a number of factors delayed the graduation.
Was putting on hold of all the training activities after the outbreak of coronavirus. That was one major problem. The second, the lack of the necessary finances needed to fund the entire program. Third, lack of immediate agreement on the unification of command.
Kwang says all the hurdles delaying the graduation have been overcome. However, the Joint Defense Board has yet to fix a date for the graduation. Both Kwang and Gabriel say the parties have yet to agree on one of the most important issues in the implementation of the security arrangements, deciding the party's representation in the high command.
There is no breakthrough. What is left is, I think that it is being tabled to the IGAD, so that they come and make sure, and the grantors to come and make sure that, okay, we revisit the agreement and see where we went wrong and or maybe what was left out.
There is no timeline that has been given to IGAD to decide on the percentage of command posts each party gets. Within the incumbent transitional government of national unity, the party under President Salva Kiir had proposed for a sharing ratio of 60% to 40% of the unified command. The SPLMIO, led by First Vice President Riek Machar, wants to split the command positions 50 to 50. In recent months, IGAD said the effective implementation of the security arrangements is a backbone to the implementation of the peace deal. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Some families of young men arrested earlier this month in the Jonglei state capital Bor during a crackdown on gangs are calling on the authorities to either release or put them on trial. Some residents say their relatives have been detained for weeks in unknown locations without being charged or produced in court. A police official says the suspects will be arraigned once some of their leaders are captured. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Bor town resident Nakenyagai says his 19-year-old nephew was arrested by the Joint Operation Forces about 2 weeks ago. Guy says the police have not told the family the charges against him or where he is being detained. Guy urges the authorities to either release his nephew or charge him in court.
My nephew was arrested within this month. You know, one has been suspected and has been taken there. They have to investigate the person. And after that, they found the person is guilty, then maybe the person may remain there. And when one is not guilty, he has to be released.
Jacob Miale, teacher at St. Andrew High School in Bor, says his cousin was arrested during the crackdown along with one of his students a week ago. Miale says while he supports the idea of cracking down on the gangs, the suspects should be screened and brought to court.
They were victims. And up to now, they are still with the authorities of the state, those who are cracking down the criminals. So, yeah, I think whenever someone is arrested, you are arrested as a suspect. So, and you have to undergo some investigation. And I think those who were arrested, they have not been found guilty. They are all suspects. They are all accused of maybe disturbing the normalcy of the community. But what I know very well, not all those who have been crackdown are all guilty. I know there are some innocents, and they have first of all to undergo some investigation.
Major Majak Daniel Tuor, the Jonglei State Police spokesman, says about 30 suspected gang members have been arrested and are being detained. Tuor declined to disclose when the suspects will be arraigned in court, saying that will happen when police arrest the leaders who are still on the run.
This law was enacted by the state authorities to arrest and apprehend those criminal gangs who are terrorizing the communities within the state. And upon their all apprehension, then they will be forwarded to any court of competent jurisdiction. Majority of them, they are still hiding within the communities. The most wanted guys are already at the heart of the operational force. Then they will be forwarded to any court of competent jurisdiction for their hearing.
Chola Tengalier, a human rights lawyer in Bor, says it is the responsibility of the police to maintain law and order, but arbitrary detention without trial is against the law.
The police should do serious screening, because some of them you know, become victims based on their mode of dressing, but they're not really bad people, you know. Some people, when you approach them, you really get to find out that they're really good citizens, just that they're redundant, you know, and they should do serious screening before some of them are arranged before the court.
Bor authorities began a crackdown on gangs earlier this month to fight a rise in crime. A security committee meeting tasked Brigadier General Ajang Iwinamach, head of the Joint Operation Force, to head the operation. None of the suspects arrested has yet faced trial. South Sudan's transitional constitution stipulates that a person arrested by the police may be detained no more than 24 hours, and if they are not released on bond, they must appear in court. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor, Jonglei State.
South Sudanese lawmakers at the East African Legislative Assembly are welcoming the regional parliament's decision to suspend job recruitments at the East African Community Secretariat. Lawmakers at the assembly yesterday voted to refer the matter to East African Community Council of Ministers. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Arusha, Tanzania.
The question is that this matter be referred to the council for consideration. Those in favor say aye. Those against say nay. The ayes have it.
That is Martin Gonga, the Speaker of the East African Legislative Assembly, confirming the vote to forward the issue to the Council of Ministers. Last week, South Sudanese lawmakers boycotted the Assembly's sitting after raising concerns about what they said were irregularities in the recruitment of employees in the East African Community Secretariat. Anito, the chairperson for the South Sudan chapter, said yesterday the Council of Ministers called chairpersons of the different chapters to tell them how sensitive the issue is and that it needed to be handled carefully to avoid causing divisions in the East African community. She says legislators will give the Council of Ministers some time to address the issue.
All the motions that we raise here, the resolutions are actually referred to the Council of Ministers to implement. So instead of debating, they said, look, we understand the situation. We are now going to take this and work on it. Give us a chance to address this problem because we know that it's very central in keeping the East African people united. So that is what has happened. They've taken responsibility. We've let them to go ahead and we'll wait. Maybe by the end of today or tomorrow, they will issue a statement regarding what course of action they are going to take regarding addressing this problem.
Ito says suspending the recruitment process will help South Sudan, which has the least number of candidates shortlisted for jobs in the secretariat. She says of the people who were shortlisted for vacancies, Tanzania had 83 people, Kenya had 73, Rwanda and Uganda had 53, and Burundi had 35. South Sudan had only 14 people shortlisted, and yet there is no guarantee that they will be hired. Ito says she suspects the East African Secretariat may start the recruitment process afresh. She calls on officials in South Sudan's East African Ministry to ensure they send people who understand how the East African community system works, something she says will guarantee South Sudan's equal share in the recruitment process.
The problem we had last time was that we did not have competent and qualified people to participate in the shortlisting and selection. So we really advise that the Ministry for East African Affairs should really follow this process properly and make sure that they send competent people, people who understand the rules and regulations for the staff rules and regulations, that they understand the quota system, to make sure that they sit together with other partner states to make sure they can make sure that the process is just.
Kim Guy Roth, another South Sudanese lawmaker in the East African Legislative Assembly, says he is happy the recruitment process was suspended because if it were to continue, South Sudan would not get any top positions in the community. He says all he wants is affirmative action for South Sudan, just as it was done for Burundi and Rwanda in 2007.
These 17 institutions, which head by executive director and deputy director, the affirmative action should apply on those positions. And it will be very clear, according to Clause 5 on the quota system, that South Sudan, you have to take healthcare center in Bujumbura, and only eligible people who are going to apply should be South Sudanese. That means we're not going to compete with other partner states.
Rod says if South Sudan is not given that position, they will petition to the parliament again and again. Mokolia Kennedy Ayerson also is a South Sudan member of the East African Legislative Assembly and says they are giving the parliament 2 days to get feedback on the recruitment process.
If they don't address their issues, we bring back this motion and it will be the first motion to be considered under our rules of procedure 17. So they have to consider this matter urgently because it's a matter of importance, regional importance. That's why it is moved under our rules procedure, Rule 30L, which says any matter of regional importance is addressed first.
Ayerson advises South Sudanese to be on the lookout so that once the recruitment process is reopened, they can apply. He cautions potential applicants to ensure they have the appropriate requirements so that legislators have the authority to defend them once anything goes wrong in the recruitment process. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Arusha, Tanzania.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok appeals for calm in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. That story is lined up after this break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok is calling on rival political groups in Sudan to stop all forms of hate speech and engage in dialogue to resolve issues between the parties in the transitional government. The Prime Minister has formed a 7-member committee to address the looming crisis within the transitional government. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
The Prime Minister is giving the committee 48 hours to release its recommendations for resolving the government's political crisis. Hamdok heads the panel. The Sudanese Council stressed the importance of dialogue between all parties to the crisis and to stop all forms of incitement. The committee is also tasked with reaching an agreement on practical solutions aimed at revitalizing, protecting, and stabilizing the democratic transition in the government. Last Friday, Hamdok said all forces should adhere to the constitution as reference when resolving political grievances. He acknowledged the government needs to expand the political participation of all forces in the country, with the exception of members of the previous administration of Ostad President Omar al-Bashir.
We should put an end to all forms of dissension among the different forces for freedom and change, and expand the base of transition that will include all transitional forces of revolution for change.
Thousands of people in Khartoum, allied with Sudan's military, are taking part in the fourth day of a sit-in outside the presidential palace. The protesters are demanding that Hamdok dissolve the cabinet and replace it with technocrats. Addressing the nation in a televised speech on Friday evening, Hamdok has vowed to implement all of the objectives of the interim period in the country's transition to a democratic form of government. He said, the journey is not easy, but all forces should unite and support the transformation.
We are committed to completing the civil democratic transition and hand over this country to an elected government that is elected through a credible and free election in accordance with a democratic system. We will ensure that we implement this responsibility with honesty and will not compromise on it while we are holding this responsible position.
Speaking to South Sudan in Focus from the sit-in outside of the presidential palace, Ibrahim Youssef, a political leader of the Sudan Liberation Movement faction led by Mini Arko Minawi, says he welcomes the work of the new committee and says the movement remains ready to engage in any dialogue that would resolve the ongoing crisis.
We welcome any initiative that will lead to the solution to the current political differences and to fulfill the ambitions of the Sudanese people that stood behind the revolution. We support any initiative that will lead to the full realization of the objectives of of the political consensus.
Sudan is facing its most severe political challenges since it formed a transitional government following the military's ouster of Bashir in 2019. The protesters accuse certain political parties within the Forces for Freedom and Change, or FFC, coalition of excluding them from the country's political process. The FFC and their supporters are preparing for a nationwide protest on Thursday. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Khartoum, we move to Kenya, where at least 1.3 million schoolchildren in Kenya dropped out of school due to poverty, hunger, female genital mutilation, and early marriages. The United Nations Children's Fund says school closures due to COVID-19 interrupted learning for over 17 million children who missed more than 6 months of formal education. For VOA News, Maureen Ojiambo has more.
Kenya has made gains in reaching remote areas and disadvantaged communities at primary and pre-primary level. In pastoral communities where high dropout rates were recorded, indicates that children in the region did not see any value in schooling. Long distances to school also affected them, and high rate of child marriage. They also faced increased risks of violence, child labor, and mental health. The Chief Executive Officer, National Council for Nomadic Education in Kenya, Haran Yusuf, said that the Kenyan government has launched a new drive to get more than 250,000 children back to school.
This three-year program targets 250,000 out-of-school children, 50% girls, 50% boys, and 5% children with disability. The goal is to enroll and retain them all the way through their learning journey to transition into positive, well-equipped humans for the world of work. The county secretary include Garissa, Wajir, Turkana, Marsabit, Samburu, Isiolo, West Pokot, Tana River, Mandera, Nairobi, Kilifi, Kwale, Kajiado, Baringo, and Bungoma.
The Back to School initiative is targeting children aged 6 to 13 years in 16 counties. The chief education at the UNESCO East Africa Saido Jalo said that UNICEF has embarked on bringing equity in education across Kenya.
We would like to urge the Minister of Education, with the support of partners, to fast track the efforts, inclusion and equity, through addressing through policy all forms and all forms of exclusion and discrimination and disparities, inequality, and inequalities in and through education, establishment of policy frameworks, guidelines, etc. on out-of-school will be very useful in moving forward and addressing the issue of out-of-school. Interventions to engage stakeholders in advocacy campaigns to enhance enrollment of disadvantaged children, most vulnerable, and those living with disability.
The pupil-to-teacher ratio remains very high in some counties. For example, in Turkana County, teacher-student ratio is 1 to 77. George Baude, Senior Regional Advisor, Africa Regional Field Network, said that Kenya has children of school-going age who are completely out of school and others in school but facing challenges.
We do have two categories. Some, one of them is those who are not in school, and those who are in school but are facing a risk of dropping out before the end of the school year, right? So for a given year, we have these two situations. But among those who are not in school, we also have some subcategories there. Some have never attended school. Some will have the opportunity to go later on. And we have also those who were there already in school but dropped out for several reasons.
Over 17 million children in Kenya are recovering from up to 9 months of lost learning due to COVID-19. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, primary school enrollment in Kenya was at 99%, but at secondary level, it was only at 71%. However, issues such as poor quality teaching and large class sizes still affect the quality of children's learning. Reporting for viewers, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Milwaukee, USA.
Ugandan government is known for cracking down on writers who express strong dissent to President Yoweri Museveni, who has ruled the country for 35 years. Despite the risks, two writers recently composed deliberately provocative pieces criticizing the president. For VOA News, Alima Athumani reports from Kampala.
Early this month, Ashaba Anna wrote an erotic poem on Facebook to Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni titled, I Want to Be Museveni's Side Chick. The poem reads in part, I want to be Museveni's side chick so that when, after reading a poem for him, I tell him that censorship, arrest, torture, and imprisonment of writers is inhuman, cowardly an act, and violation of rights. Speaking to VOA, Ashaba says that she decided to write the poem after a long observation and listening to several of Museveni's addresses. She says it was clear the government's response to the concerns of citizens was relaxed.
Someone needs to tell this person that we are tired. First of all, the education crisis, schools are closed, teachers are not working. I said if he asks me the kind of car I want, I'll ask him to give me an ambulance and I donate it to hospitals.
The Ugandan government has previously come down hard on writers who pen opinions on how the current regime is handling citizens' concerns. This has included arrests, imprisonment, and torture, among others. 23-year-old Ashaba did not face any of these, but she too caught the eye of the authorities and was summoned by the deputy director of the Internal Security Organization.
He called and said, I want to have a chat with you. I was scared. And he said, no, we just want to have a chat. So they asked me this one important question. So what do you want? And I gave them the answer that as a writer, I had gotten what I wanted. The fact that the message had reached the powers that be.
While officiating at the World Teachers' Day, celebrated on October 12th, Museveni, when asked by teachers to increase pay for all teachers, insisted only science teachers' pay should be increased and not for those teaching arts.
Don't mix up salary with authority, saying that if the administrators get less pay than the scientists, that it will spoil administration. I am the president of Uganda. If you want to check my power, you try it.
Danson Kahiana, a senior lecturer at Makerere University, said he was angered by Museveni's comments and took to Facebook to express his disappointment. In a post titled, Someone Tell the Life President to Shut Up, he says, someone tell the Life President that it is okay to have the parliament and the judiciary and the army and the police safely in his armpit, but there is a species of people, the art scholars, who know how smelly every armpit gets.
My Facebook post was a form of challenge to him to say, well, I think if you don't have something to say about the arts and how important they are to the country, maybe you should just shut up and listen to people, educate you about this. Being a president doesn't mean that you know everything.
In a text message to VOA, government spokesperson Nofono Pondo says these writers are seeking to make names and hopefully gain the spotlight. He says Museveni does not need to be insulted to be heard. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala, Uganda.
Tell us how you feel about issues in our news. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We reserve the right to air your brief comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now take you to Uganda for some traditional Baganda music. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm a cousin in Angana.
kubuka kubu mujimu wenje za sete nizani mana zisuka nijigiriza wangama nevenye la banjulira munambuza.